The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 121. Dramatic Flight. At the mention of Annabelle's leaving, Rupert's expression darkened. Did she want to leave because of what his mother said just now? Or was it because? Annabelle, my mother's just like that. Please don't take her words seriously. As he spoke, Rupert took a step forward and placed his hand on Annabelle's shoulder. His eyes were bore unfathomable emotion. In a hoarse voice, he added, trust me. I'll deal with my mother, and I won't let her make things difficult for you. When Annabelle's eyes met Rupert's, her heart skipped a beat. She took a step back, forced a smile, and changed the topic. Let's stop talking about this. We should get going. Hearing this, Rupert returned to his usual cold and indifferent self. He nodded and said, let's go. The two arrived at the airport. Annabelle followed Rupert until they stopped in front of a jet. Is this yours? Annabelle surveyed the luxury jet in front of her. Her grandfather wanted to buy a jet for her as a birthday gift before, but she refused because she was afraid of heights. Mr. Benton, Miss Hewitt? The captain and the flight attendant stood at the door and respectfully welcomed Rupert and Annabelle. Go on. Rupert held Annabelle's hand and helped her up the stairs to the jet. Soon, the jet took off and headed into the clouds. In the blink of an eye, they were 100,000 feet high. Annabelle sat beside Rupert, staring at the clouds from the window. What's on your mind? Rupert's deep, magnetic voice suddenly sounded in Annabelle's ears. Nothing. Annabelle turned around and met Rupert's inquisitive gaze. She cleared her throat and said quickly, I was just wondering who our enemy is. We will know when we arrive in France. Rupert smiled. Don't think too much. Help yourself to some drinks. What would you like? Orange juice, Annabelle said after thinking for a while. Rupert called the stewardess over and said, a glass of orange juice, please. Okay, one moment. The stewardess smiled at them and then headed to the back. 5 minutes later, the stewardess returned with a glass of orange juice and handed it to Annabelle. Here you go, Miss Hewitt. Thank you. Annabelle took the glass of orange juice and was about to drink it when the jet suddenly lurched and dropped rapidly. Ah! Ah! Annabelle screamed in fear. The lights in the jet went out, shrouding them in darkness. The feeling of weightlessness made Annabelle's stomach churn, and the pitch darkness surrounding her made her deathly pale. Traumatic memories flashed in her mind. It was as though she had fallen into an abyss. It was dark all around, and she kept falling. This feeling was so real that Annabelle was convinced it was really happening. Annabelle tried to grab onto something, but there was nothing around her. The overwhelming despair seemed to drown her. Help! Help me! Annabelle screamed in panic, her face pale and covered in sweat. Rupert threw his arms around her tightly. Annabelle, what's wrong? Are you okay? Rupert's warm embrace gave Annabelle some sense of relief. She hugged Rupert back and whimpered, I'm so scared. Don't be afraid. It's just turbulence. Having Annabelle's arms wrapped around him, Rupert couldn't help but smile. Soon, the jet stabilized and the lights went back on. Only then did Annabelle realize that she was hugging Rupert for dear life. Blushing furiously, she let go of him hurriedly, mumbling, I'm sorry. I wasn't myself just now. Don't worry about it, Rupert said casually, but his eyes were still filled with concern. I was really scared. Patting her chest, Annabelle took a deep breath to gather her bearings. I thought I was going to die. I didn't know you were such a scaredy cat. Rupert smiled faintly. Most of the time, Annabelle was calm, independent, and level-headed. It was rare to see her so scared. I'm scared of the dark and I'm scared of heights. It was pitch black just now, and I could feel us plummeting to the ground. Of course I was scared out of my wits. Rupert reached for Annabelle's hand, his expression softening. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. The warmth emanating from Rupert's fingertips seemed to spread all the way to Annabelle's heart. Truth be told, this man wasn't so bad. If it weren't for the fact that he was in love with Candy, she might be willing to accept him. But there was no if. With a sigh, Annabelle withdrew her hand and said indifferently, "Thank you." The woman's obvious refusal made Rupert feel a little sad. He couldn't help but ask in a low voice, "Annabelle, are you unwilling to accept me?" Annabelle was stunned for a moment. "Rupert, now is not the time to discuss this. Have you forgotten why we're going to France? Benton Group is in trouble now. How could you still think about this?" "In trouble?" Smiling confidently, Rupert waved his hand dismissively. "It's not a big deal." He was right. Annabelle also didn't think it was that big a deal, but it would still take time and effort to find out the evil mastermind behind this. Fortunately, the rest of the flight was smooth. When the jet landed, Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief, as though a weight had been lifted off her shoulders. Judson and Brett were already at the airport, waiting for them. As soon as Annabelle and Rupert deplaned, Brett walked up to them and greeted them politely. "Hi, Rupert, Annabelle. It's been a while." Smiling, Annabelle hugged Brett. "Mr. Benton, we've found out that in one of Number One Factory's warehouses, there are traces of subpar raw materials containing radioactive elements." Judson went straight to the point. "So there is something wrong with the raw materials," Rupert mused, narrowed his eyes. "I'm sorry. I feel responsible for this." There was a trace of guilt in Brett's tone. After all, it happened in France, and the products produced by the branch factory were distributed by Lady Fashion. "Brett, let's get to the bottom of this once and for all," Rupert said coldly. "Mr. Benton, why don't you and Miss Hewitt go to the hotel and get some rest first? You two just came from a long flight," Judson suggested, seeing the tired look on Annabelle's face. "No, thanks. Let's go to Number One Factory now," Annabelle said with a shake of her head. She couldn't wait to find out the truth. Chapter 122. A sudden explosion. "All right, then. Let's go." Rupert cast a cold glance at Judson, motioning for him to lead the way. Soon, their car pulled to a stop in front of Number One Factory. "Who's in charge of purchasing raw materials?" Rupert suddenly asked, leafing through the documents Judson had handed to him. Judson replied, "Sadie. She purchased all the materials for the French branch. All the raw materials were purchased by her." Raising her head to look at Judson, Annabelle frowned. If this was a problem with purchasing, why is it that only Number One Factory has a problem? "True. Sadie has been working with us for ages, and she has been in charge of purchasing for a long time now. I don't think this is her fault." Judson pursed his lips and shrugged. Annabelle asked, "Where is Sadie? I want to see her." Judson promptly summoned Sadie to his office. A few minutes later, a stocky, middle-aged woman with curly hair came in. "Sadie, this is Mr. Benton and Miss Hewitt," Judson said to Sadie with a faint smile. "They want to know all about the purchasing of the raw materials for the ice and fire collection." Judson then introduced Sadie to Rupert and Annabelle. "This is Sadie. You can ask her anything about the purchasing process." Sadie looked at Rupert apologetically. "I'm sorry, Mr. Benton. I'm the one responsible for purchasing the raw materials. But I can guarantee that there wasn't a problem with any of the material I purchased, and all the procedures were done in accordance with the company's standards." Rupert nodded and then asked, "Where did you buy these raw materials?" Sadie brought over the purchase contracts and explained everything to Rupert in detail. "All the raw materials in France are purchased from these three companies. We've been in cooperation with these companies for over 3 years now, and there has never been any problem before." "Did you routinely quality check the raw materials when they were purchased?" Annabelle asked, leafing through the purchase contracts. "Yes, all the procedures were done in accordance with the company's standards," Sadie reiterated firmly. "Okay. Sadie, you can go back to work now." Rupert looked over all the documents and then dismissed Sadie. Sadie nodded respectfully. "Okay, Mr. Benton. Call me if you need anything." After Sadie left, Annabelle looked at the file in Rupert's hand and asked, "Find anything out of the ordinary?" Rupert turned to Judson and said in a cold voice, "I need a list of all the people who have access to the raw materials."
"Okay, I'll have someone make the list right away."
Judson quickly made arrangements. Soon, the list was sent to them. It turned out that in addition to the employees in charge of the warehouse, the workers in transportation and production also had the chance to tamper with the raw materials. Staring at the list of people, Rupert fell into deep thought. "Where are the suspicious raw materials now?" Judson pointed out the window and said, "They're all in the warehouse over there. Just that one warehouse." Following Judson's gaze, Annabelle saw that there were a dozen warehouses in a row. Judson nodded affirmatively.
"Yes.
Take us to the warehouse," Rupert ordered coldly. The warehouse where the raw materials were stored was a few dozen meters away from the factory. Normally, there would be employees dedicated solely to the transportation of the raw materials from the warehouse to the factory. In other words, the materials could have been tampered with during its transportation. "The warehouse is right over there." Judson pointed at the warehouse ahead of them while leading the way. Annabelle and Rupert walked closely behind Judson. Just as they were about to reach the warehouse, Judson's phone suddenly rang. He looked at the caller ID and turned to Rupert apologetically.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Benton. I have to take this."
"Okay."
Robert waved his hand dismissively and walked on with Annabelle. The closer Annabelle got to the warehouse, the more uneasy she became. She couldn't shake off the feeling that something bad was about to happen. Suddenly, there was thick smoke coming out of the warehouse in front of them. A burning hot air wave rushed out, and bright orange flames flashed before Annabelle's eyes.
"Jesus!
It's going to explode!" Stunned, Annabelle stopped and urgently started pulling Rupert back. There was a deafening bang, followed by tremors in the ground. Thick smoke soared into the sky, forming a mushroom cloud, and the red flames roared to life.
"Annabelle, watch out!"
Amidst the chaos, Rupert's nervous and anxious voice sounded. When Annabelle raised her head, she saw that a sheet of metal broke off from the roof because of the air waves. It was flying straight toward her. It all happened so fast. In the blink of an eye, Annabelle was grabbed and shielded by Rupert. The sheet of metal rammed into him with a bang, but he still held her tightly in his arms. The two fell to the ground together, with Annabelle's back slamming into the hard concrete. She gasped in pain. Before Annabelle passed out, she vaguely heard Rupert saying, "Don't be afraid, Annabelle. I'm here with you." When Annabelle woke up again, she was already in the hospital.
"Rupert."
Her last memory made Annabelle shout subconsciously. But she was met with silence. Annabelle struggled desperately to peel her heavy eyelids open, only to see the bare, white walls of the hospital ward. Where was she? And why did her back hurt so much? Annabelle rubbed her temples, trying to gather her bearings. The last thing she remembered was that she and Rupert went to the warehouse to check the suspicious raw materials, but then the warehouse suddenly exploded. In that critical moment, it was Rupert who shielded her from harm.
"Rupert."
Enduring the pain, Annabelle struggled to sit up. Just as she was about to get out of bed, the door to the ward opened and a young woman in a nurse's uniform came in.
"Where is Rupert?"
Annabelle grabbed her and asked anxiously.
"Huh?"
The nurse looked visibly confused. Annabelle asked again, "Where is Rupert? Who brought me here? Is the man I was with okay?"
"I don't know," the nurse replied with a shrug.
Annabelle was getting anxious. Was Rupert okay? She wanted to get out of bed to look for Rupert, but the nurse stopped her.
"Miss, you're injured. You need to stay in bed."
"I'm fine."
Frowning, Annabelle became more and more agitated. She needed to make sure Rupert was fine. However, a strong sense of uneasiness took hold of her. If Rupert was fine, he would be with her now. So where was he?
Rupert, he must have gotten badly hurt. Chapter 123 In a coma, Rupert, you have to be okay. Annabelle gritted her teeth and forced herself out of bed, enduring the searing pain in her back. She needed to find Rupert. She needed to confirm that he was fine with her own eyes. Miss Hewitt? Just then, Judson's voice sounded from outside the door. Judson, thank God you're here. When Annabelle saw Judson come in, she felt a small sense of relief. Where's Rupert? Have you seen him? Judson averted his gaze and stammered, Mr. Benton. Yes. How is he? Seeing that Judson seemed hesitant to answer her, Annabelle pressed him anxiously. He's currently receiving emergency medical treatment. Judson sighed and decided to be honest. He was seriously injured. Emergency medical treatment. Seriously injured. Annabelle's mind went completely blank all of a sudden. Rupert had gotten hurt because of her. The memories of the warehouse suddenly exploding flooded her mind. If Rupert hadn't saved her, he wouldn't have gotten badly hurt. Where is the emergency room? Annabelle suddenly asked. Judson seemed to be startled. The next second, he came to his senses and answered, the 18th floor. As soon as Judson said this, Annabelle rushed out of the ward and went straight to the elevator, jabbing the button anxiously. But the elevator stopped at the top floor. Annabelle's ward was on the 5th floor. Gritting her teeth, she turned around and headed for the stairs. Ignoring the pain, she climbed 13 flights of steps and finally made it to the 18th floor. Where is Rupert Benton? Annabelle grabbed a doctor like a madwoman. Are you talking about the Mr. Benton of Benton Group? Startled, the doctor looked at Annabelle up and down. Finally, he pointed at a room at the end of the hall. He's in the emergency room over there. How is he? Is he okay? Annabelle asked, wringing the doctor's coat anxiously. The doctor shook his head with a sigh. Sorry, I don't know. Annabelle let go of him and rushed to the door of the emergency room in a hurry, but a nurse at the door stopped her. I'm sorry, miss, the doctor is in the middle of treating the patient. You can't go in. Is the patient okay? Looking at the closed door of the emergency room, Annabelle felt powerless. The nurse smiled politely. Please rest assured that the doctor will do his best. Rest assured? How could she rest assured? If something bad happened to Rupert, she would never be able to live with herself. Annabelle's heart was hanging in the air. She fell to her knees and clasped her hands in front her chest, praying desperately for Rupert's safety. Annabelle. A familiar voice came into Annabelle's ears, pulling her back to reality. Following the direction of the voice, Annabelle found that Brett and several managers of Benton Group's branch in France were sitting next to the emergency room. Everyone looked worried sick. Annabelle walked over in a daze. How is Rupert? Brett shook his head and sighed. I just got here. I came as soon as I got the news. How did this happen? I don't know. The warehouse exploded out of the blue, Annabelle replied, rubbing her aching temples. Only then did it occur to her how strange this matter truly was. The warehouse didn't explode until she and Rupert got there. How could that be a coincidence? Just then, the door to the emergency room swung open, and the doctor wheeled Rupert out on a gurney. Oh, my God. Rupert, are you okay? Annabelle rushed over immediately and looked at Rupert with concern. But Rupert didn't answer her. He was unconscious, lying quietly on the gurney. His handsome face was extremely pale, and his eyes were tightly closed. His head and legs were wrapped in bandages, and there were faint blood stains on the white gauze. A lump formed in Annabelle's throat and she almost burst into tears on the spot. She swallowed and forced herself to calm down. She couldn't break down at a moment as critical as this. Doctor, is he going to be okay? Annabelle asked in a trembling voice. Despite asking this, she was afraid to hear the answer. The doctor said gravely, he was hit by a sheet of metal, and the injury on his head was serious. Although we've treated him as best as we could, his situation is still not optimistic. Not optimistic? What was that supposed to mean? The doctor's words were like a knife to Annabelle's heart. Why was Rupert so stupid? Why did he have to risk his life to save her? When will he wake up? Annabelle asked in a small voice, biting her lip hard to prevent herself from crying. The doctor sighed. It's hard to tell. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, or... The doctor didn't go on, but his meaning was clear. Worry, anxiety, regret. Mixed feelings plagued her heart. Annabelle lowered her head to look at the pale, unconscious Rupert. He'll be fine. She said firmly, although her voice was a bit shaky. Brett placed his hand on her shoulder and said, "Yes, he'll be fine. You're injured, too. Go back to your ward and get some rest. We'll make sure Rupert is taken care of." "I'm fine. I need to stay with Rupert." Annabelle shook her head stubbornly. The doctor wheeled Rupert into the VIP ward. Sitting next to the bed, Annabelle looked down at the familiar handsome face and said remorsefully, "I'm sorry, Rupert. This is all my fault. If I hadn't insisted on coming to France, this wouldn't have happened." After a pause, Annabelle's voice broke. She held Rupert's hand and said, "Rupert, you have to wake up." Just then, there was a gentle knock on the door. Annabelle wiped away her tears and went to open the door. Judson was standing outside. "Judson," Annabelle said softly. Judson looked inside the ward and asked, "Mr. Benton, is he okay?" Annabelle pursed her lips and shook her head. "He's still unconscious." Judson sighed heavily. Such a tragedy was so unexpected. "But Mr. Benton is a lucky man. He'll be fine. I'm sure of it." Raising her eyes to look at Judson, Annabelle clicked her tongue. "As soon as we arrived, the warehouse exploded. What a coincidence. Judson, have you found anything yet?" "It happened out of the blue." Judson's expression darkened. At the scene, the firefighters found two dead bodies. Annabelle was shocked. "Two dead bodies? Who were they?" "We suspect that they were the warehouse managers, but we'll need to test their DNA to confirm their identities." Judson shook his head. "There is something deeply wrong going on. Perhaps those two people were the ones who tampered with the raw materials." Annabelle nodded thoughtfully. "Yes, it's possible. This is really troubling, Judson. Please find out whether those two people had something to do with the defective raw materials and the explosion." Chapter 124 Suspicion. Okay. Judson agreed without hesitation. The moment Annabelle saw him leave, she returned to the ward. Sadness filled her heart as she stared at the unconscious Rupert in the bed. Tucking him in, she sat by his bedside, held his hand, and prayed for his recovery. The clock was ticking. Every tick was like a knock on Annabelle's heart. It ached more and more. Every second was like a century for her. Annabelle sat there with her eyes glued to his handsome face. It was getting late, but she didn't move an inch or sleep a wink. Never had she been this worried in her entire life. At midnight, someone suddenly knocked on the door. Annabelle thought it was the attending doctor. But when she opened the door, she saw Finley standing on the other side. He came with several fierce bodyguards to guard the ward. "Finley, why are you here at this time?" Annabelle was taken aback by his sudden appearance. Shouldn't he be at home at this time? Finley walked in, looked at his still boss, and said, "I flew here as soon as I got the news. How is Mr. Benton?" Sadness crept to Annabelle's face. "As you can see, he's still in a coma." "Don't worry. He will come around soon," Finley assured her comfortingly. "Let's hope so." Annabelle nodded. Suddenly, something occurred to her. "By the way, how is the company?" Finley was supposed to be holding the reins in Daubug, and the company was yet to return to its former glory. It had skipped her mind to check on how things were going over there. Finley said in a somewhat cold tone, "The press conference kind of won some support for the company. The stock price began rising again. But the explosion changed the tide for the worse. There have been countless negative comments online, and the stock price is plummeting again. No surprise there. Is the current situation that bad? Annabel asked.
Yes, it is, Finley said seriously, his shoulders slouching.
After thinking for a while, Annabel said, the first thing we need to do now is to find out the truth. We must capture the culprit and expose everything to the public before things get any worse.
I will try my best, Finley said firmly.
You must be tired. How about you back to rest?
Can stay here with him through the night.
No, I want to be by his side. Annabel shook her head. She wanted to be here when he regained consciousness. Her mind wouldn't be at rest if she left him in the care of someone else.
Finley smiled.
I understand, but you are injured too. You need to rest. Do you want to collapse before Mr. Benton wakes up?
You can rest assured. I and the bodyguards will protect him. He's in safe hands.
Apart from the tiredness on Annabelle's face, her entire body was aching badly. She also had something important to attend to. She looked at Finley and the bodyguards at the door before nodding reluctantly.
Fine, I'll go to rest and come back tomorrow morning.
Finley walked her to her ward and returned. With his hands in his pockets, he instructed the bodyguards, be alert. Let no one in, okay?
Yes, sir.
The bodyguards responded, standing at attention. Finley closed the door and walked to the bed. He moved close to Rupert and whispered respectfully,
sir, I have sent Annabel back to her ward. We are alone now.
The next second, Rupert's eyes peeled open. He sat up and leaned against the headboard. He then asked, does anyone doubt my state?
Finley shook his head with a smile.
No, even Annabel believes that you are unconscious.
That's good.
Sir, if you don't mind me asking, why don't you tell her?
You should have seen the look on her face just now. She's truly worried about you, Finley quipped.
Rupert cast an indifferent glance at him.
The fewer people know, the better.
Rupert had only gotten a minor injury after he was hit by the sheet of metal. However, the explosion was strange. It seemed like it was specifically targeted at him and Annabel.
Rupert decided to pretend to be in a coma.
In this way, the person behind the attack would think their plan worked. He was waiting for the culprit to let down their guard and make a wrong move, so he could catch them unawares.
Thinking of this, Rupert asked in a low voice, how's it going?
As expected, there is a lot of negative news about the company, Finley reported.
Look into Judson, Rupert ordered with a frown.
Finley was stunned for a moment.
Do you suspect that he has a hand in this?
Rupert nodded.
Check to see if he has any affiliation with Love Jewelry.
Okay.
Finley's face darkened.
After Rupert finished giving the orders, he lay back on the bed and closed his eyes. Back in Annabelle's ward, she couldn't sleep a wink. She sat on the bed and turned on her phone. She saw that the news about the explosion was all over the internet.
Intense comments were still pouring in.
Benton Group is more corrupt than we thought. It appears that they deceived consumers and produced the goods with substandard materials that unfortunately caused the explosion.
Something tells me that the explosion was intentional. The management must have done that to get rid of all traces of their illicit affairs.
The dead can't speak, so no one can testify to what they saw in there.
How can you say that?
You seem to forget that even the CEO was injured in the explosion. Rupert is not that kind of man.
Staring at the phone screen for a while, Annabel rubbed between her eyebrows and carefully recalled what happened before the explosion. She and Rupert got injured. However, Judson received a call and left before the explosion occurred.
What a coincidence.
Annabel couldn't shake the suspicious feeling brewing inside her, so she called Anthony.
Hello, Ada.
Anthony's concerned voice came through.
I saw the news. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Annabel said.
I need you to look into someone for me.
Who is it?
I will look into anyone as long as it's not Candy.
Anthony agreed on one condition.
Look into Judson, Annabel uttered, rubbing her eyebrows.
The moment she ended the call, Rupert's pale face appeared in her mind. She couldn't stop thinking about him. She had no choice but to go back to his ward. Before she got to the door of the ward, the bodyguard stopped her. "Miss Hewitt, you can't go in." Annabelle seemed to hear a familiar voice coming from the ward. It sounded like Rupert's voice. She was abuzz with excitement at once. Did Rupert wake up? Chapter 125. Will you marry me? Let me go inside and meet Rupert, Annabelle said eagerly. But Finley has instructed us that no one is allowed to enter the room without his permission, one of the bodyguards replied with an embarrassed expression. The bodyguards knew that Annabelle was Rupert's fiancée, but since Finley had given them an order, they could only do their duty and stop Annabelle at the door. After pondering for a while, Annabelle took out her phone and called Finley. Finley heard his phone ring and looked at the screen. He saw that Annabelle was calling and pressed the speaker button. "Miss Hewitt, what can I do for you?" he asked. Annabelle's anxious and concerned voice filtered out from the phone's speaker as she asked, "Is Rupert awake?" "No," Finley said lightly as he looked at Rupert, who was leisurely lounging in the bed. He hadn't woken up. Annabelle bit her lower lip in disappointment and said, "I'm very worried about him. Can I come inside and see him?" Her voice clearly reached Rupert's ear and he didn't miss a word. His sexy lips automatically curved up into an enigmatic smile. She cared about him. Finley looked at Rupert for direction. Noting his slight nod, Finley said, "Please wait a moment." Finley opened the room's door and spotted Annabelle standing just outside. "Come in, please." He smiled. "Miss Hewitt can enter and leave the ward freely from now on," Finley told the bodyguards. "Is Rupert okay?" Annabelle's gaze instantly focused on the man lying in the bed, who looked gorgeous even when he was unconscious. Rupert's eyes remained closed as he heard Annabelle's caring voice. The softest part of his heart seemed to be scratched by a feather. "His condition is quite stable," Finley said, pursing his lips. "I heard him talking just now." Annabelle's attention remained fixed on Rupert. She seemed to have heard his voice just now. "You heard me talking on the phone," Finley replied with a shake of his head. "I see." Annabelle looked disappointed. Finley looked at Annabelle, then at Rupert. "Since you're here with him, I'll leave now. If you require anything, you can ask the bodyguards at the door. They are all Mr. Benton's confidants." Since Annabelle was here, it was wiser for him to leave. "Thank you." Annabelle smiled at him. Finley turned around, walked out of the room, and closed the door. Was Rupert pretending to be unconscious just to flush out the manipulator? Finley didn't think so. He guessed Rupert wanted to see Annabelle care about him. Taking a seat at the head of the bed, Annabelle silently studied the man lying in it, feeling melancholic. She was tired and finally gave in to her exhaustion. She fell asleep at the head of the bed. The room was very quiet, faint breathing the only audible sound. The unconscious man slowly peeled his eyes open. When his cool eyes fell on the sleeping woman, his face softened a little and he smiled faintly. He stood up gently and used a thin blanket to cover Annabelle. In her sleep, she mumbled, "Rupert, you will be fine." Warmth coursed through Rupert's veins, and his tender eyes fell on Annabelle's face. Her delicate face looked tired, and her thin lips had no color. These past few days must have exhausted her. Leaning down slightly, Rupert planted a soft kiss on her smooth forehead and said, "Everything will soon be over." The next morning, sunshine streamed in through the glass window and fell on Annabelle's face. She woke up after a while. She was surprised to notice that a blanket covered her. She recalled that she had fallen asleep from fatigue last night. Why did she have a blanket over her? Had Rupert covered her with it? Did he regain consciousness? With anticipation and excitement, Annabelle turned her attention to the bed. But Rupert remained unconscious with his eyes closed. Annabelle's spirits plunged. Every memory she had of Rupert flashed through her mind. He protected her, cared about her, and saved her. Several thoughts were running through her mind. "Rupert, You have to be fine. Wake up quickly. If you wake up, I'm willing to do anything for you. Tears welled up in Annabelle's eyes. Are you truly willing to do anything for me? Are you willing to marry me? A familiar clear voice reached her ears just as she got lost in her sorrowful thoughts.
Rupert.
It was Rupert's voice. Annabelle couldn't stop the ecstasy that lit her up. She looked at the bed and saw that the comatose patient suddenly opened his eyes.
Rupert, are you awake?
A bright smile split Annabelle's face. Relief finally coursed through her at this moment. Rupert was awake. He had finally woken up.
This was great.
Rupert grinned and raised his eyebrows.
Does what you said just now still count?
What I just said? Annabelle was nonplussed for a moment, and then her words came back to her. Gazing into Rupert's smiling eyes, Annabelle was suddenly struck with something. She shot him an angry glare and pounded his chest with her fists.
Rupert, you were pretending.
Rupert grabbed Annabelle's hands and pressed one of them against his chest.
Annabelle, can you feel my heart beating for you?
When Annabelle's hand made contact with his powerful muscles, her face turned beet red. This man was so flirtatious. Inhaling a deep breath to get her emotions under control, she looked at him coldly and asked,
Rupert, why were you pretending to be unconscious?
You can take a guess, Rupert said. After considering it for a few moments, Annabelle replied, I think you've already figured out the person who planned the explosion, haven't you?
Rupert nodded and said, I suspect Judson, but I don't have any evidence.
So, you pretended to be unconscious to lure Judson into thinking that his plan succeeded. You want him to make his next move and reveal his true intention.
Rupert didn't reply.
Instead, he gazed at her intensely and asked, is what you said true?
Chapter 126. I'm pursuing you. Rupert's eyes were fixed on Annabelle's face. His magnetic voice echoed in her ears, startling her.
Annabelle's heart skipped a beat. She looked up and met his deep-set eyes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A faint smile tugged at the corners of Rupert's thin lips.
I heard every single word you said just now.
And what exactly did I say?
I don't remember.
Embarrassed and annoyed, Annabelle glared at him helplessly. How dare he pretend to be in a coma in front of her?
If she had known sooner, she wouldn't have been so worried about him.
Rupert took her hand in his, rubbing it gently.
You said that as long as I wake up, you'd be willing to do anything for me.
Well, now I'm awake. Will you marry me?
Once again, Annabelle's heart skipped a beat.
Is that supposed to be a proposal?
She rolled her eyes, although her heart was racing in her chest.
I'm pursuing you, Rupert answered simply. His eyes were full of affection as he looked at her.
Pursue her?
Annabelle's heart beat faster.
They were in a ward. It was inappropriate to talk about this matter here.
Annabelle withdrew her hand, muttering, what I said just now doesn't count. You were just pretending to be unconscious.
Hey, no take backs.
Rupert pursed his lips unhappily.
Annabelle didn't say anything more.
A hush fell over the ward, and the atmosphere grew a little awkward. After a few seconds, Rupert cleared his throat and broke the silence.
I'll give you 2 months. Can you give me the answer I want by then?
Annabelle mulled over it for a while and then nodded seriously.
I'll give you an answer then. I don't know if it'll be the answer you want.
Rupert nodded and leaned back in bed, complacence written all over his face. He was confident he would get the answer he wanted.
Aren't you supposed to be unconscious?
Close your eyes. What if someone comes in and sees you're awake?
Annabelle changed the topic.
Don't worry. My bodyguards are stationed outside, Rupert replied calmly.
As soon as he finished speaking, Annabelle's phone rang.
Glancing at the caller ID, she saw that it was her grandfather calling.
Grandpa, Annabelle greeted in a sweet voice.
Anna. Are you okay?
Leonard's concerned voice sounded from the other end of the phone.
Of course I'm okay, Annabelle said with a smile.
Well?
Is the news true?
Half true. Don't worry,
Grandpa. Just do whatever you usually do, go fishing or water the flowers or something. I'll take care of things from here.
Don't worry.
I'm not worried, my dear. Leonard chuckled heartily.
Rupert isn't really in a coma, am I right?
Grandpa, how did you know?
Pursing her lips, Annabelle had to admit that her grandfather was really impressive.
I wasn't sure at first, but when I heard your voice, I knew I was right.
After all, if your fiancé was in a coma, you wouldn't sound this calm, Leonard explained with a knowing smile, smoothing his beard idly.
Grandpa, what are you talking about?
He's not my fiancé, not for long, anyway. I'm going to break off the engagement to him as soon as the 3-month agreement is over, Annabelle said shyly, rolling her eyes at her grandfather's silliness.
Well, all right then. I'm going to water the flowers.
After exchanging goodbyes, he hung up the phone.
Putting her phone away, Annabelle turned around and met Rupert's icy cold face.
Is what you said just now true?
He asked with a frown.
Rupert was dissatisfied because Annabelle always said she was going to break off the engagement.
You'll know when the time comes, Annabelle said lightheartedly, ignoring the look of displeasure on Rupert's face.
I already said I'll give you an answer in 2 months.
Before Rupert could retort, they heard a knock on the door.
Quick.
Lie down, Annabelle hissed in a low voice.
Rupert obediently lay down and closed his eyes.
Annabelle tucked him in.
Then she went to open the door.
Judson was standing outside.
Oh, it's you, Judson. What's up?
Annabelle asked calmly.
Judson looked inside the ward and asked with concern, how's Mr. Benton?
Annabelle lowered her eyes and sighed heavily.
He's still unconscious.
Oh, no. What did the doctor say?
When will he wake up?
Judson asked anxiously.
Annabelle shook her head and feigned a distressed expression.
The doctor said the chance that he'll wake up is very slim.
The corners of Judson's mouth lifted imperceptibly. He patted on Annabelle's shoulder and comforted her.
Don't worry too much. Mr. Benton will be fine. I'm sure he'll wake up soon.
I hope so, too, Annabelle said softly.
After a pause, a thought occurred to her.
By the way, have you found out who those two dead people were?
Actually, that's exactly why I came.
Judson cleared his throat.
We know the identities of the two bodies at the warehouse. They were the warehouse keepers. They tampered with the raw materials, too.
Huh?
Why'd they do it?
Annabelle pretended to be shocked and widened her eyes.
Here's the thing. They have always been negligent workers. The managers kept criticizing them. They couldn't handle being told off, so they wanted to take revenge on the company.
Judson shrugged.
As for the explosion, it turns out it was a total accident. One of the warehouse keepers was smoking, which is a safety violation. The cigarette butt landed on the radioactive raw materials, causing an explosion.
Oh, my goodness.
Annabelle frowned.
It was something so trivial, but it has caused such a huge problem for the company.
Now, the news about the explosion spread like wildfire on the internet.
I want to hold a press conference as soon as possible to clarify the matter to the public.
Perhaps we can still salvage the company's reputation.
Annabelle, what do you think?
Judson suggested.
Annabelle nodded in agreement.
Good idea, Judson. I'll leave it to you then.
Should I run it by Finley first?
Judson asked, pretending to be hesitant.
Finley doesn't know what's going on here, and Rupert's in a coma.
It's best if you go ahead with the press conference and clarify things there, Annabelle said seriously.
Okay, I'll start preparing right now.
As he spoke, Judson stole another glance at Rupert, who was lying in bed motionlessly.
Then he turned around and left.
So?
What do you think?
Should I become an actress instead?
As soon as Judson left, Annabelle went back to the bed and looked at Rupert expectantly.
Rupert's eyes turned cold.
Since Judson couldn't wait, Rupert decided to expose him at the press conference.
Chapter 127. What is the truth? Has Finley found anything?
Seeing the confident look on Rupert's face, Annabelle squinted at him curiously. Rupert adjusted his position in the bed and answered, "It's still under investigation, but I believe the truth will come to light soon. We have to find solid evidence before Judson holds the press conference. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble." Rupert gave Annabelle a reassuring smile. "Don't worry. I'll take care of everything. Judson won't keep this up for long." Annabelle sighed in relief. Rupert's smile inexplicably made her feel safe. Anyway, she had already sent Anthony to investigate the matter. They would get to the bottom of this soon enough. By then, Judson would have a taste of his own medicine. The press conference was scheduled to take place in 2 days. Everyone had their own theory about the explosion at Benton Group's branch factory. They were looking forward to the press conference, eager to find out the truth behind the so-called accident and the radiation material found in the Ice and Fire series. The press conference was held in the function room of a luxury hotel in France. Annabelle arrived early and sat in an inconspicuous corner. She texted Anthony, "Have you found anything out yet?" "Soon," Anthony replied, "yes. I've sent it to your email." Reading this, Annabelle cracked a small smile. "Thanks." It seemed that today's press conference was going to be very interesting. Judson was sitting on stage. He was wearing a smart-looking suit. A lot of reporters surrounded the stage, and all cameras were pointed at Judson, bombarding him with flashing lights. At 10 o'clock sharp, the press conference began. The MC climbed on stage and greeted everyone. "Welcome to Benton Group's press conference. I will now hand the floor over to Mr. Judson Finch." Amidst the applause, Judson stood up and held up his hand to silence the crowd. "I believe that everyone here has heard about the explosion of Benton Group's branch factory in France. The reason why we called for a press conference is to clarify this matter. Was the Ice and Fire collection really made with radioactive materials? How did these materials get into the factory? Was the explosion really an accident?" The reporters bombarded Judson with questions, one after another. "Please be quiet first." Judson raised his voice and looked at the crowd firmly, holding up a piece of paper. "In my hand is Benton Group's official statement on the matter." After a pause, he turned to the paper and read it in a mechanical voice. "The investigation into the allegations that Benton Group used radioactive materials in the Ice and Fire jewelry series has revealed that some of the raw materials in the French branch's warehouse do contain radioactive elements. It turned out that two warehouse keepers were dissatisfied with the company for personal reasons. They wanted to take revenge on the company, so they tampered with the raw materials, introducing some materials that were indeed radioactive. This affected the quality of the manufactured jewelry, consequently poisoning the customers who purchased them. In addition, according to our investigation into the explosion, it turns out that one of the warehouse keepers were smoking, which was a direct violation of the rules. The cigarette butt came in contact with the explosive raw materials, causing the explosion. The two people who were killed in the explosion were proven to be the warehouse keepers who tampered with the raw materials before." After hearing what Judson said, the crowd broke into discussion. "Seriously? The victims of the explosion were the two warehouse keepers who tampered with the raw materials? That can't be a coincidence. It's a cover-up. Benton Group is just trying to cover up the truth." Chaos broke loose as the people drew their own conclusions on the matter. Reporters swarmed around the stage, firing countless questions at Judson. "Is that the truth? How could the people behind the radioactive materials conveniently die in the explosion? Is it really just an accident?" Judson suddenly broke into a grin. "Of course it wasn't an accident." Everyone gasped in shock. Judson's words attracted the attention of everyone in the room. The reporters were all excited by his controversial statement. "What do you mean by that? If it wasn't an accident, then what was it? What secrets are Benton Group hiding?" Judson's eyes turned cold. "What I said just now was Benton Group's official statement, but I never said it was the truth.
Are you implying that the Benton Group is lying? So what's the truth?
As the person in charge of Benton Group's branch factory in France, I shouldn't be saying this. But as a man of integrity, my conscience has been weighing on me, so I've decided to tell you all the truth today.
Judson winced, as though it was difficult for him to make up his mind.
Watching Judson's performance on the stage, Annabelle's expression darkened. As expected, the real reason why Judson wanted to hold a press conference was to throw Benton Group under the bus. However, he had underestimated both Rupert and Annabelle. Judson was nothing but a contemptible scoundrel. Annabelle sneered inwardly. He could be complacent for a few more minutes. Judson held the attention of every person in the room. He spoke slowly, but clearly. Actually, the real reason why the jewelry contained radioactive materials is because Benton Group intentionally used inferior raw materials to cut costs. To cover the truth, they pinned all the blame on the two innocent warehouse keepers. As for the explosion, it was no accident, it was also deliberately set up by Benton Group. Obviously, they wanted to destroy the evidence. After all, the dead could not expose the truth. As soon as Judson said this, all chaos broke loose in the conference room. After all, Benton Group was one of the leading enterprises in the business world. How could it do such a cruel thing for the sake of profits? It was simply unheard of. But considering Judson's identity, it was unlikely he was lying. After all, Judson was in charge of Benton Group's branch factory in France. He had no reason to discredit his own company. Was Benton Group so evil? Judson seemed to be satisfied with the reporter's reaction. He looked around and finally fixed his eyes on Annabelle, who was sitting inconspicuously in the corner. And the people who started this was none other than Rupert Benton, the CEO of Benton Group, and Annabelle Hewitt, the person in charge of the Ice and Fire project. The reporters immediately turned to stare at Annabelle. All eyes were on her. Annabelle took this as her cue to stand up. She walked to the stage and asked, "Judson, are you willing to own up to every word you said just now?" Chapter 128 Telephone Recording Of Course. A hint of provocation flashed across Judson's eyes. In serious tone, he said, "I should have ended today's press conference after reading Benton Group's statement. But I don't want anything on my conscience, so I'm revealing the truth at today's press conference." "Conscience? I think you've lost yours." A mocking smile appeared on Annabelle's face. Hearing her words, the reporters swiftly surrounded her and began to hound her with their questions. "Is what Judson said true? Is it true that Benton Group chooses to use low-grade raw materials for profits, resulting in customers being poisoned? Were the two warehouse keepers made scapegoat? Did you stage the explosion yourselves to cover up the truth?" A faint smile danced on Annabelle's lips before she answered calmly, "Of course not. Every word Judson said was a lie. He lied and slandered Benton Group." "Do you have any evidence proving what Judson said was false?" A reporter pointed the microphone at Annabelle. "Why would he do that? That wouldn't benefit him at all." Annabelle sneered, "If Judson was right and Benton Group planned the explosion, why were Rupert and I hurt?" She rolled up her sleeves. A dark red wound was visible on her delicate skin. She gave Judson a frigid look. "If Rupert and I had known that the explosion would happen, we wouldn't have gone to the warehouse. Now, Rupert is lying in a coma at the hospital. Why would he risk his own life?" Hearing what Annabelle said, the reporters whispered to each other. If the news from the hospital was true, Rupert's injuries from a sheet of metal that fell on him in the explosion were severe. These days, he was stuck in a coma. It was likely he would degrade into a vegetable. A vicious glint flashed in Judson's eyes. "That was all a trick you plotted. But an unexpected accident happened, resulting in Rupert getting injured." "An accident? I think someone plotted it." Annabelle's face appeared indifferent while sarcasm began to seep into her words. "The explosion happened when I and Rupert went to the warehouse. But Judson, you answered a phone and left before the explosion. Was it a coincidence?" "What do you mean?" Judson frowned.
Annabelle looked at him coldly.
I mean, Judson, you are the one behind the explosion. You're the one who started all of this, including the radioactive materials of ice and fire.
Nonsense. Judson retorted.
I told the truth and exposed you. That is why you're so desperate to push all the blame on me.
I'm afraid you're the desperate one.
Annabelle grinned slightly.
You mixed the raw materials with the radioactive ones, causing some of the ice and fire products produced in France to poison our customers. You then led me and Rupert to the warehouse where you planted a bomb that would be detonated once you sent the command on your phone. Why did you set up such a trap?
That's quite a convincing story. Unfortunately, you've made it all up.
Judson waved his hand and told the reporters, "Don't believe her."
Another frigid smile emerged on Annabelle's face.
We'll see who's lying soon.
She couldn't help but look at the door. She narrowed her gaze and wondered why Rupert hadn't arrived yet.
Finley should have gotten his hands on the evidence by now, and Rupert should have been here.
Was there an emergency?
She decided to use what Anthony sent her to buy some time.
Annabelle cleared her throat before throwing another sharp gaze in Judson's direction.
Judson, I've got a recording of the phone call here. Would you want to listen to it?
Judson was stunned.
What recording?
Waving the phone in her hand, Annabelle said coldly, you know what this is.
Under the watchful eyes of the public, Annabelle found the file Anthony sent her. She placed the phone in front of the microphone and pressed the play button.
Soon, a conversation between two people on the phone could be heard.
Are you ready?
It was Judson's voice.
The other voice was a woman's.
Yes, I'm ready to detonate the bomb at any time.
Good. Set off the bomb in a minute, Judson said in a sinister tone.
No problem.
The woman's voice sounded.
The sound of rushing footsteps could be heard.
It appeared Judson was hurrying to a safe place.
A minute later, the woman asked, do I detonate it now?
Yes.
Then, there was a deafening bang.
Despite hearing just the audio on the phone, everyone in the room could feel the powerful aftershock of the explosion.
Well done.
Judson said with satisfaction.
The phone recording was over and everyone present was shocked.
Was the explosion at the warehouse not an accident but a deliberate attempt?
And according to this recording, Judson was the most likely suspect behind this.
Judson clenched his fists and raised his voice.
It's a fake recording. What does it prove?
Do you have any valid evidence that I was the one talking on the phone?
Can you prove the bomb in warehouse had something to do with me?
Judson retorted with a few aggressive questions.
Annabelle put her phone away.
She then looked around the room before explaining calmly, this conversation began at 3:20 p.m. on June 30th. A minute later, the warehouse exploded at exactly 3:21. We can prove if you're the one speaking in the recording by conducting a voice print identification. I've invited the voice print examiner. Are you ready for it, Judson?
Annabelle sneered, her razor-sharp gaze aimed at Judson.
Judson's face fell. He didn't expect Annabelle to get her hands on such a recording.
How?
When Annabelle and Rupert were walking to the warehouse, it was impossible for either of them to hear his phone call.
Where did Annabelle get that recording?
Chapter 129. Marilyn Judson suddenly clenched his fists.
Taking a deep breath, he said steadily, why should I do what you say?
Well, why not?
Annabelle smiled knowingly. She had already expected such a reaction from Judson.
Ha ha.
Judson chuckled awkwardly.
This so-called recording doesn't mean anything.
Is that so?
If it doesn't mean anything, why won't you let us do a simple voice print recognition test?
If the voice in the recording is not yours, why should you be worried?
Annabelle mocked.
Is it because you know that you're guilty?
Faced with a series of damning questions from Annabelle, Judson didn't answer her.
What you're saying is pure slander.
As the person in charge of Benton Group's branch in France, why would I do such a thing?
How on earth would I benefit from tampering with the raw materials?
Why would I plant a bomb in the warehouse?
Good question. As the person in charge of the Benton Group's French branch, why would you do such a thing?
Annabelle frowned.
You did it for at this moment, a magnetic male voice boomed from afar, which overlapped with Annabelle's voice. You did it for Marilyn. You did it for love jewelry.
Annabelle looked in the direction of the voice in surprise. Standing by the door was a familiar figure. Seeing him here, she felt relieved. It was Rupert. He was finally here. To everyone's surprise, Rupert strode inside the conference room. He exuded a domineering aura as he walked, making those around him feel small and insignificant.
Rupert Benton's here.
Someone shouted in shock.
Isn't he supposed to be in a coma?
Why is he here?
Oh, my God. It's really Mr. Benton.
He's fine.
All of a sudden, the crowd burst into an uproar, and everyone stared at Rupert in utter disbelief.
Suddenly, a thought occurred to someone in the crowd.
What did Rupert mean by saying that?
Marilyn?
Love jewelry?
She plagiarized Benton Group's design, didn't she?
But what does Judson have to do with love jewelry?
Is love jewelry behind this?
Everyone looked to Rupert for answers.
What was the truth behind the scandal surrounding the Ice and Fire collection?
As Rupert walked through the crowd, the people automatically made way for him.
With steady steps, he didn't stop until he was by Annabelle's side. He turned his head to look at Annabelle. In a soft voice, he said, "I'm here, Annabelle."
Annabelle gave him a small smile.
There seemed to be a tacit understanding between the two.
As for Judson, he was staring at Rupert in disbelief.
Wasn't Rupert supposed to be in a coma from being knocked out in the explosion?
Why was he here, safe and sound?
What are you doing here?
Judson exclaimed.
Aren't you supposed to be in the hospital?
It sounds like you don't want to see me.
Raising his eyebrows, Rupert cast a cold glance at Judson.
Judson, there's a short video I want to show you. Would you like to watch it?
Video?
What video?
All the color drained from Judson's face.
Things were not going according to plan at all.
Never in his wildest dreams would he have expected that Rupert would wake up from his coma.
Looking at Rupert, the truth suddenly dawned on Judson.
Did Rupert just pretend to be in a coma?
By pretending to be incapacitated, Rupert made him relax his vigilance.
All the while, Rupert and Annabelle were secretly collecting evidence against him.
Now, they were about to turn the tables in today's press conference.
It was all a trap, and Judson had fallen for it.
As reality dawned on him, Judson broke out in cold sweat.
He had severely underestimated his opponents.
They fooled him.
Rupert nodded to Finley, who then pressed a button on the remote control.
The next second, a video started to play on the big screen in the conference room.
The setting of the video seemed to be in some fancy hotel.
A man and a woman were lying in a bed in the center of the room.
The man was undoubtedly Judson, while the woman was none other than Marilyn, the chief designer of Love Jewelry.
The two of them were cuddling in bed.
After a while, Marilyn asked, "Honey, do you love me?"
"Of course."
Judson's eyes were glazed over with lust.
"Why don't you prove it?"
Marilyn pouted, wrapping her arms around Judson's neck.
"How?
I'll do anything for you."
"Really?
Are you willing to do anything for me?"
Marilyn asked in a low, sensual tone.
"Yes."
Judson squeezed Marilyn's ass.
"I'll do anything as long as you are willing to marry me."
"Okay, I'll marry you on one condition."
Suddenly, Marilyn's eyes turned cold.
"Do you know about the plagiarism thing?"
Judson was stunned for a moment.
"You mean Ice and Fire?"
Marilyn nodded.
"Yes.
That bitch, Annabelle, humiliated me. Everything I worked for, my hard-earned career and reputation, was ruined because of her.
She and Rupert have to pay."
Marilyn's anger flared up at the thought of how she went from famous designer to plagiarist in the blink of an eye.
Things wouldn't have turned out like this if it weren't for Annabelle and Rupert. She had to take revenge. She wanted Annabelle and Rupert to get a taste of their own medicine and more. She wanted to destroy them. Judson fell silent for a moment. Then, he made up his mind and said firmly, "Marilyn, I love you. Tell me, what do you need me to do?" A hint of viciousness flashed through Marilyn's eyes as she said, "Annabelle's ice and fire project, it has to fail. Her reputation has to be destroyed." "Oh, that? A piece of cake." Judson pulled Marilyn close. "I'll make sure the ice and fire jewelry will have a fatal flaw. At that time, Annabelle and Rupert will be in big trouble. Honey, as long as you destroy the both of them, I promise I'll marry you." Marilyn climbed on top of Judson and started kissing him. What happened next was strictly rated R. Seeing this, Finley immediately picked up the remote control and turned off the video. Rupert then turned his icy cold gaze to Judson. "So, how do you explain that video?" Chapter 130: Tips on how to flirt with girls. Faced with Rupert's evidence, all the color drained from Judson's face, and he couldn't make eye contact. Where did Rupert get this video? He could find a reason to deny the recording, but he couldn't explain the video at all. Because it was indeed him and Marilyn in the video. After watching the video, the reporters roughly understood what was really going on. "Wow, I never thought Judson was a traitor. I can't believe he was willing to jeopardize the safety of the customers for his own selfish gain. He even set up a bomb. What a fucking jerk. Marilyn is also an asshole. Not only did she plagiarize, but she also made Judson do such a horrible thing just to frame Benton Group." The growing hostility toward Judson overwhelming. He wiped the cold sweat on his forehead and tried to defend himself. "It's not true. The video's fake. You framed me." "Fake?" Annabelle's eyes flashed dangerously. "Are you trying to say that both the recording and the video are fake?" "Unfortunately, our evidence against you is solid. I believe everyone here can tell whether it's fake or not." "Oh, and there's one more thing. We also have a witness." Rupert smiled at Judson, but his eyes were devoid of warmth. Finley took this as his cue. He said in a booming voice, "Bring her in." Soon, the door opened and several bodyguards came in with a short woman. Judson's face turned ghastly pale when he saw the woman. He was doomed. One of the reporters recognized that this woman was a wanted criminal. Her name was Hester Ramirez. She was known for fabricating bombs and was implicated in several terrorist attacks. Rupert's expression was cold and indifferent. He looked at Hester and asked, "Do you have anything to do with the explosion at the warehouse of Benton Group?" Hester was keen on making explosions. After participating in a few terrorist attacks, she decided to lie low and had been hiding in the woods. Judson had specifically sought Hester out and bribed her with money, asking her to plant a bomb in the warehouse. It had taken Finley a great deal of effort to track down Hester. But in the end, he found her hiding in the mountain and made the bodyguards bring her here. Knowing that she was powerless against Rupert, Hester admitted to the crime bluntly. "Yes, I made and detonated the bomb in the warehouse." "And why did you do that?" Rupert narrowed his eyes at her. Hester shrugged nonchalantly. "Someone gave me $10 million to do it." "Who?" Rupert asked in a bone-chilling voice. Hester couldn't help but tremble. She pointed at Judson and shouted, "He did it. He's the one who hired me." "What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know you." Judson's palms were sweating profusely. Given the circumstances, there was nothing he could do but deny it. "Is that so? I already asked someone to look into it, and it turns out that a week ago, you withdrew $10 million from your account. That's the $10 million you gave to Hester." Rupert cast a cold, harsh glance at Judson. Annabelle nodded. "We have all the evidence against you, Judson. There's nothing you can do. We'll turn over the evidence to the police. They'll decide what to do with you." As if on cue, Rupert raised his hand, and police officers swarmed into the room and put Hester and Judson in handcuffs.
After the two were taken away by the police, Rupert's cold gaze swept across the crowd. Now, you all know that the incident regarding the Ice and Fire project was all part of Love Jewelry's malicious scheme and that Judson was the mastermind behind it all. Benton Group will take this as a sign to do better, and such an incident will never happen again. Thunderous applause broke out. Annabelle turned to look at Rupert. Their eyes met for a split second. The storm was finally over. Annabelle felt as though a weight had been lifted off her shoulders. All the negative press about Benton Group soon disappeared. Now, it was Love Jewelry that was under fire, whereas Rupert and Annabelle were worshipped on the internet. Love Jewelry has no morals. Benton Group deserves our support, not them. Judson got what was coming. But Marilyn still needs to be taught a lesson. Oh, my God. Rupert is so handsome and Annabelle is so beautiful. They're a perfect match. I support Rupert and Annabelle as a couple. I hope they stay together forever. Lying in the hotel bed, Annabelle was scrolling through the overwhelming amount of positive comments. She couldn't help but smile. She and Rupert. Were they really a perfect match? What are you looking at? A low, magnetic voice interrupted her thoughts. Why was Rupert here? Nothing. Annabelle said quickly, shoving her phone under the pillow. Is that so? Rupert had glanced at the screen of Annabelle's phone before he even spoke, so he knew the truth. Shall we give our fans some reward? Annabelle was stunned. What? Do you want to disappoint them? Rupert looked at Annabelle with a sly smile. Annabelle pursed her lips unhappily. This man was so shameless. I told you I'd think about it and give you an answer in 2 months, she said, rolling her eyes. Rupert suddenly leaned closer and whispered in Annabelle's ear, "Don't make me wait too long." His warm breath tickled Annabelle. Flustered, Annabelle quickly changed the topic. When are we leaving? A few days from now, Rupert replied calmly. Don't you have work to do back home? Annabelle asked in surprise. Rupert smiled and waved his hand dismissively. Finley will take care of things while I'm away. I haven't recovered fully yet. I'll leave after resting for a few more days. Well, okay. Annabelle was a little taken aback. She didn't expect that a workaholic like Rupert would be willing to rest. After a while, Annabelle glanced at her watch deliberately. It was late, but Rupert showed no intention of leaving. She cleared her throat and said frankly, "Rupert, I need to go to bed soon. Go back to your own room." Rupert's expression darkened. This woman was always eager to drive him away. Sure enough, Annabelle stood up and started dragging Rupert to the door. In the end, Rupert sighed helplessly and said, "See you tomorrow." Finley, who was standing by the door, watched with amusement as Annabelle pushed Rupert out of the room. Rupert begrudgingly retreated to his room. Seeing that Finley had a teasing smile on his face, he frowned and asked, "What's the matter?" Finley smiled and handed a book to Rupert. "Mr. Benton, I think this suits you. What's this?" Rupert's gaze landed on the cover. The title read, "Tips on How to Flirt with Girls."